This is Yair Davidi speaking on behalf of the Brit Am Broadcasting Service. The subject of the present talk will be the identifying blessings of Israel. Originally, there were 12 tribes of Israel united into one kingdom. This kingdom split into two divisions. The northern half of the kingdom consisted of 10 tribes. These 10 tribes were conquered by the Assyrians and were exiled. They disappeared from history. The tribes in the south that were not exiled by the Assyrians belonged to the kingdom of Judah. The present-day Jews are descended from people who lived in the kingdom of Judah and who were not taken away by the Assyrians. The 10 tribes in the north who were taken away and their identity was lost. These people are known as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. We have evidence that the 10 tribes of Israel went to Europe and populated the British Isles and other European countries. From these countries, they later populated North America, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. The evidence we have for our beliefs is derived from many sources, including scripture, the Talmud, language, legends, and archaeology, and sociology, and other disciplines. At present in this talk, we are concentrating on proof from the Bible. Not only are we concentrating at present on biblical evidence, but now we are speaking in regards to only how the Lost Ten Tribes were exiled, and then speak about only one aspect of biblical proof concerning the Lost Ten Tribes. We're going to speak about the blessings. Certain blessings were promised to the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, and these blessings have been fulfilled. We are going to show what these blessings were and how they have been fulfilled, and how they have been fulfilled only by certain peoples. This will prove that the peoples through whom the blessings have been fulfilled belong to the Ten Tribes. This evidence is confirmed by proofs from other fields of study. It is confirmed from other biblical prophecies, from history, from a lot of sources, as we will show in other talks that we will give at other times. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the forefathers of the Israelite peoples. They are the patriarchs. Promises made by God to the patriarchs were destined to be fulfilled by their descendants. It could be claimed that the blessings are to be filled in their fullness only in the Messianic age, and some have made this claim. Nevertheless, the blessings were also destined to be fulfilled, as said in the prophets, in part at least in historical times prior to the Messianic age, and only peoples in the West have fulfilled these prophecies. Therefore, only peoples in the West and their descendants can claim to be, in the full sense of the word, descended from the lost tribes of Israel. Based on the prophecies alone, one can say that the people who fulfilled the promises are the ones to whom the promises had been made to in the first place. That is, the Israelites had been promised that certain things would happen to them. And these things did happen to only one group of people. On this basis alone, we can say that the people in whom the promises were fulfilled are Israelites. After that, we can look for additional evidence to confirm this conclusion. Before we go on, let's go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He made man and woman. He commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and conquer the earth. Mankind began to sin, so God destroyed all life with a flood of water. From this flood, only Noah and those in it with him in the ark were saved. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Abraham was descended from Shem. Abraham was the first Hebrew. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, who was renamed Israel. Israel had 12 sons who fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Asher, Gad, Naphtali, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. The two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, became important tribes in their own right. Apart from that, two of the most important tribes in Israel were Judah and Ephraim. The tribe of Ephraim, together with Manasseh, was descended from Joseph. The tribe of Ephraim believed it should be the head tribe, and there was sometimes tension between Ephraim and the other tribes on this issue. Judah was also an important tribe. Judah headed the tribes in the south. On occasion, there was tension between the tribes in the south, headed by Judah, and those in the north. King David was from the tribe of Judah. King David made Jerusalem the capital city of all Israel. Jerusalem was on the border between Judah and Benjamin. King Solomon, the son of David, built the temple in Jerusalem. It says in the first book of Kings that during Solomon's lifetime was prophesied, see chapter 11, first book of Kings, it was prophesied that after his death, the kingdom of Israel would be split in two, and that 10 tribes would be headed by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, from the tribe of Ephraim. Jeroboam, Yeravam in Hebrew. Jeroboam was an official of King Solomon. He was in charge of the house of Joseph. See 1 Kings 11, verse 28. The expression house of Joseph meant the northern tribes of Israel in a general sense. Jeroboam was in charge of the northern tribes even before the rebellion and succession of these northern tribes from the two tribes in the south from Judah. Jeroboam rebelled against King Solomon and he fled to Egypt. Jeroboam remained in Egypt until Solomon died. After Solomon died, Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, became king of all Israel. Look it up in 1 Kings chapter 12. Beginning from verse 1, it says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king." Shechem was north of Jerusalem. It was in the territory of Ephraim. Continues to say, "And it came to pass," says the Bible, "and it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying," that is, according to the verses we have just read, when Solomon died, Jeroboam was called back from Egypt. Rehoboam returned to Israel, and he was made the spokesman of the tribes. A delegation of all the Israelites, headed by Jeroboam, came to Rehoboam, the reigning king. And they asked Rehoboam for an alleviation, a lightening of their duties. They said, 1 Kings 12, verses 4 to 6, "Your father made Ahio grievous. Now therefore make lighter the grievous service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, and we will serve you." And he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days and come again to me." And the people departed. And King Jeroboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I might answer this people?" The elders answered Rehoboam and advised him to give the people a conciliatory answer. They advised Rehoboam to make peace with them, to make peace with the people, to placate them. Rehoboam, however, would not listen to the old men. He advised us of his father. Rehoboam went and took alternative advice from the young men whom he had grown up with. The young men advised Rehoboam to give a harsh, negative, and threatening answer. The book of Kings, it says, 1 Kings 12, verses 12 to 15. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, and I will chasten you with scorpions. Scorpion was a type of heavier whip with pieces of metal attached to the ends of the leather. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord. It goes on, notice the words, the cause was from the Lord. It means that God had its own reasons for bringing these events about, that were to result in division amongst the tribes of Israel. The Bible continues, 1 Kings 12, 16 to 17. So when all Israel saw that the king did not heed them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the house of Jesse. To your tents, Israel. Then Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So we see, from the above, we see that the northern tribes rebelled, with only Judah and Benjamin remaining faithful in the south. It says further, 1 Kings 12, verses 19 to 24. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the house of Judah only. When Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. The word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, So says the Lord, You shall not go up, nor fight against your brothers, the children of Israel. Return every man unto his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. See from above, the expression house of Judah included both the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. We see therefore also that Judah and Benjamin were faithful to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, from the house of David. All the rest of Israel rebelled. The house of Judah and Benjamin, who remained faithful to Rehoboam, were told not to go up to fight against rebelling tribes in the north. For this thing is from me. For this thing is from me, says the Lord. The division was from God, who had his own reasons for this division. Same chapter 1 Kings, we see, chapter 12, verses 25 to 31, 25 to 27. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from there, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return unto the house of David. This people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. In ancient Israel, the people were accustomed to go up to Jerusalem three times a year at the festival times to sacrifice. Jeroboam was afraid that if his subjects continued to go up to Jerusalem, they would eventually want to reunite with the house of David, and he would lose his kingdom. As it says in 1 Kings 12, verses 28 to 31, Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship unto one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the house of Levi. So we see that Jeroboam instituted the worship of golden calves, one in Dan, the other in Bethel, and he replaced the service of the Levites with that of people from the lowest classes, from the lowest of the people. It says in 2 Chronicles 11, 12, 14, that consequently the Levites left the northern kingdom and moved to the south to the kingdom of Judah that was ruled by Rehoboam. From now on, the kingdom of Judah was dominated not just by the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, but by the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. And later we will see that there were remnants from the other tribes, from the northern tribes, who also joined and attached themselves to Judah. But even so, they were a small minority of the total. The great majority of the northern tribes and of the Israelites in the northern kingdom continued to degenerate, and eventually they became almost completely pagan. Eliyahu, the prophet, was given a message by God that he gave to the wife of Jeroboam to pass on to Jeroboam. See 1 Kings chapter 14. What did his message say? He predicted the death of Jeroboam and the exile of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, 7 to 10. Go tell Jeroboam, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will wipe away the remnants of the house of Jeroboam. It goes on in verse 15, for the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and he shall scatter them beyond the river. Beyond the river means beyond the river Euphrates. That is to the area of Assyria and the Assyrian Empire. Why? Why? Why was it prophesied that they would be exiled? Because, says the Bible, because they made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger, because they had adopted idolatrous practices, it was prophesied that they would be taken away out of their land. 14:16 says, and he should give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. So we see, from this, in the time of Jeroboam, it had already been prophesied that Israel, that is, the northern tribes of Israel, would be exiled. Much of the rest of the histories of Judah and Israel, found in the books of Kings and the corresponding chapters and Chronicles, deal with the separate existence of these two entities of Judah and Israel. Israel, from now on, in the Bible, usually represents the northern 10 tribes, whereas Judah represents the southern 2. Judah and Benjamin, or the southern 3, when you include Levi. Israel was in the north, Judah was in the south. Both groups, both Judah and Israel, frequently worshipped foreign gods and went in the ways of the nations around them. Afterwards, prophets would come and bring them back to the right path for a time. On the whole, it seems that the northern kingdom degenerated more than the southern. More than 200 years after the division of the tribes, after the division of Israel into two halves, the northern kingdom was exiled. In the Bible, 1 Chronicles, chapter 5, verses 25 to 26, speaks of the Israelite tribes that dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. The Assyrians exiled the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. King of Assyria exiled them, and took them to places in the northern parts of the Assyrian Empire, and he settled them there. And as it says, and they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went to whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah and Habor and Hara and to the river Gozan unto this day. Chronicles 5:25-26. That's what it says. Not only Israelites on the land east of the Jordan were exiled, but in a latter wave of exile, also all Israelites from the whole of the northern part of the kingdom and from the Galilee were taken away. In 2 Kings 15:29 it says, in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Eon, and Abel-Beth-Maacah, and Yanoah, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. Well, we see that Israelites were exiled from the lands east of the Jordan, and also from the whole of the northern part of their kingdom and from the Galilee. This left only the area around the city of Samaria and the southern section of the kingdom of Israel. And from here too they were also exiled, as it says in 2 Kings 17. The king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed him in Halah and in Habor and the cities of the Medes. 2 Kings 17:6. In other words, the king of Assyria placed Israelite exiles from Samaria in the same areas as other Israelite tribes, the tribes from east of the Jordan. Placed them in the same areas that other tribes have been placed in. Why did this come upon them? It continues the next verse of chapter 17, verses 2 Kings 17:7-17, and tells in detail how the northern Israelites had sinned and served idols and rejected all of the Lord and the covenant, and went after the peoples around them and did all bad deeds. This is why they were exiled. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, two calves, and made a sacred pole, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. We see that because they worshipped idols and adopted foreign practices, they were exiled. The exiled Israelites were taking the places in the north of the Syrian Empire. In their places of exile, they became identified with the Cimmerians, Scythians, and Goths. From the Middle East, they moved to the north, to Central Asia, Russia, and Eastern Europe. And from those places, over the course of time, they all moved westward. They split up into different peoples, and they migrated at different times due to wars and climatic changes and other reasons. The bottom line is they did all move to the west, and in the end they all converged on the same regions. Historically, they can be traced to Western Europe and to the British Isles. As we said before, Abraham was the first patriarch and the first Hebrew in biblical terms. Abraham was a descendant of Shem. God appeared unto Abraham, told him to leave his country and go to the land that would be shown unto him. Genesis 12:1-3. Abraham was to beget Isaac, and Isaac beget Jacob. Jacob was later known as Israel. Descendants of Israel were predestined to become a chosen people. The nature of the chosen people that was destined to develop from Israel may be determined from the blessings that Israel received and inherited from his forefathers, Abraham and Isaac. Through these blessings, we can determine where the descendants of those 10 tribes now are. Abraham was told to get out of his country and go to the land that God would show him, and he would become a great nation, and through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Abraham did as he was commanded. He left his father's house and went to Canaan, where once again God appeared unto him and told him, Genesis 13:14-16, and the Lord said unto Abraham, lift you up your eyes and look from the place where you now are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. We see here a repetition of the blessing that is repeated throughout the Bible, that begins in the book of Genesis. This blessing has two aspects. One aspect concerns descendants of Abraham becoming exceedingly numerous and blessed. The other aspect concerns the inheritance of the land of Israel, the Holy Land. The blessing is divided. The general blessing of becoming very numerous and a great and powerful nation was to be given, as we will see, unconditionally. No matter what happened, it had to be fulfilled in history. It had to come to pass. Its purpose was to fulfill God's plan of using Israel to advance humanity for its own good. Israel was to become a great nation and blessed in order to be a blessing to the world and a civilizer of humanity. This promise was to become unconditional. It had somehow to be fulfilled unconditionally. On the other hand, the inheriting of the land of Israel was to make contingent on keeping the law. As Genesis 17:8 says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Israel, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." As long as God is the God of Israel, they will keep the land. If they cease to worship God as the God of Israel, they would not keep the land. Other verses strengthen this theme and emphasize it. The lost 10 tribes did not keep the commandments. They ceased to worship the God of Israel as their God. They went in the ways of the nations around them, and they were exiled. Nevertheless, in them was to be revealed the national aspect of the blessings. Why this was so, we do not exactly know. We can, however, receive some notion, some rough conception of what the divine purpose was in this matter. We do know that this was all part of God's plan to benefit humanity for its own sake. Genesis 15:5, God promised Abraham that his descendants would be extremely numerous. He took him outside and said, "Look now and tell the stars if you are able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." We see here once again that the seed will be very numerous. This point is important. It's repeated frequently in the blessings, where it was promised that the seed of Israel would be vast in number. We find too that the prophet Hosea, when speaking about the lost 10 tribes in their place of exile, also said that the lost 10 tribes would be extremely numerous. See Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." A criticism is leveled at our conclusions, at Bit-Am conclusions concerning the lost 10 tribes and their being found today amongst the British and West European stocks, and their descendants and peoples derived from them in North America and Australia and South Africa and elsewhere, is the great numbers involved in these conclusions. It is conceptually difficult to comprehend that the actual numbers of Israelite descendants may be very great indeed. However, from the above blessings that we have seen, the blessings given to Abraham and the prophecy of Hosea, can be seen that vast and innumerable as the stars of the heavens are and as uncountable as the dust of the earth is, so too would be the number of descendants of the patriarchs. The blessing to multiply greatly was part of the unconditional statecraft goal of the chosen people. The blessing to be very numerous was part of that portion of the blessings that had no conditions attached to them, as we will show. Again, Abraham is told, Genesis 15, verses 12 to 18, that his seed would be afflicted for 400 years. Then they would be delivered and they would inherit the land promised unto them. The land they were to inherit was from the river of Egypt, that is the Nile River, unto the river Euphrates, see 1 Kings. They were promised that kings would be given unto them. In Genesis 17, 1 to 7 it says, after God appeared unto Abraham once again and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. The blessings that were destined, not this, the blessings that were destined to devolve on the chosen people involved becoming several nations, not just one people. Several nations. You shall be a father of many nations. And further it says, and kings shall come out of you. Kings shall come out of thee. Abraham is to be multiplied and numerous, and kings are to come out of him. Kings! In the plural, God continues the blessing. Genesis 17, 7 to 8. God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. After that, Abraham is commanded to keep the rite of circumcision. Assuming the land of Canaan, that is the land of Israel, is connected with the recognition of God, keeping the commandments and with the bond of circumcision, Genesis 17, 9 to 14. However, other aspects of the promises were not so connected. The wife of Abraham was Sarai. Sarai at first was barren. Sarai could not bear children. Sarai gave her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham so that Abraham could bear children from her, from Hagar. Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Ishmael was a forefather of some of the Arabs, and conceptually in scripture, the Arabs very often are considered in a general sense to be all of them descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael represents the powers of Islam. Islam has something of the attributes of the personality of Ishmael. Abraham was told that Sarai, his wife Sarai, who bear to him a son to be called Isaac. Upon hearing this news, Abraham asked consideration for Ishmael. God said no. No. The blessing was reserved only for Isaac. Even so, it was promised that Ishmael would become a great and mighty nation. And from him did come some of the Arabs and some of the natives of North and South America and other places. And some of those peoples among the Latin nations and other peoples. It was, however, said expressly that Isaac would be the inheritor of the promises. Isaac was the inheritor of Abraham. For my covenant will I establish with Isaac, says God. Genesis 17:21. Isaac was the continuation of Abraham. He wasn't a portion of Abraham. He wasn't a partial inheritor, he was a fulfillment, he was a replacement, he was the successor of Abraham in the full sense. The blessing devolved upon Isaac. God appeared unto Abraham, Genesis 17, 15 and 16, and told him that his wife Sarai should be renamed Sarah, and a son to be called Isaac would be born from her. Concerning Sarah, God said, she shall be a number of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Look it up. Hebrew, the word translated in the King James Version as kings of people, verses 17 and 16, Malkei Amim. In Hebrew, Malkei Amim. These words more correctly should be translated as saying, kings of peoples. Kings of peoples in the plural. There would come out of Israel several peoples, so that one in the same time would have kings over them. Today the majority of Israelite nations, that is nations that Britain, that we in Britain have defended, I've identified as belonging to Israel, as having a significant portion of Israelite descendants in their populations. The majority of these nations have kings over them. They have ruled by hereditary monarchs. Even if this monarch is only a figurehead, formally they are ruled by them. And they are the almost the only nations in the world that have such figureheads, that have such rulers, that have hereditary monarchs. There are a few other non-Israelite nations that also have them. You have Japan as an emperor, but Japan is not an Israelite country, despite what some people claim. Japan may be dominated by descendants of Esau, of Edom. We shall go into that later at another time. And you may all look up this question concerning Japan on our website. To all events, Japan is not an Israelite nation. You have Saudi Arabia, which is ruled by an hereditary monarch, and Jordan. They're these monarchs, so-called monarchs, the kings, chieftains, bandits, elevated bandit chiefs, dependent on outside support to keep their thrones, and they are relative newcomers. Come today and gone tomorrow. The sooner the better. There's also the king of Morocco, whose dynasty is fairly recent. Apart from these monarchs, all of the present kings in the world today all belong to Israelite nations. Most of their dynasties are interrelated, and their origins go back into the mists of time. Beyond the era of recorded history, Sweden has an hereditary monarch. So do Denmark, Norway, Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg, and Great Britain. The monarch of Great Britain, at present the Queen of England, is the monarch of Australia and the monarch of New Zealand. So we are able to add to the list of signs proving that these nations belong to Israel, nations that Britain identifies as being descended in a significant degree from Israelite ancestors. We can add to the list, our list of identifying signs. And one more point, that of monarchies. This is obviously no proof in itself, but it is an indication that deserves to be taken into consideration with other indications. Join to the list of recognizable identity factors that must be considered along with the others. This additional point, according to the laws of probability, increases the statistical certainty that we are right in our conclusions, that we are on the right track. The existence of hereditary monarchs amongst Western European nations should be added to other identifying marks of the lost Israelites noted elsewhere in prophecy, which in continuation, in further talks we'll go into, we'll bring together many more proofs, much more evidence, and we request you all to listen with a good heart, with an attentive ear, and to take everything we say as part of one collective whole that should be considered altogether as one complementary unitary assemblage of proof that is in effect incontrovertible. It's the word of God, it's the word of the Bible, and it's there for a reason, and we have to believe in it and take it to heart and to derive the necessary conclusions from it. Should also support Britain, because we are working to further knowledge of this truth. We are not the only ones in the field. Other people in different ways also have reached similar conclusions and are also pushing this knowledge. But we have something unique of our own to add, and we are reaching people that others may not be able to reach in such an effective way. And we are fulfilling a purpose, and we need your support and your help and your participation and your contributions and purchases of our publications. and your offerings and your tithes and whatever, and your moral support and your feedback and your questioning and your patience with us and your allowance for our shortcomings, for human weaknesses, that we are tools fulfilling the task that has been laid upon us to the best of our ability, and we need you to assist us in this. Thank you very much. Till the next time, Yair David Broadcasting from the Brit Am Center in Jerusalem.